What drives thousands of boys across rural Thailand to trade childhood for the strict discipline of monastery life? The answer isn't spiritual devotion, it's survival. In villages where families subsist on $300 yearly, where broken homes outnumber intact ones, and where education remains an impossible luxury, the monastery gates offer something precious, a way out. These young novices in saffron robes aren't primarily seeking enlightenment, they're seeking their next meal, a roof overhead, and perhaps the education that might finally break their family's cycle of poverty. This hidden dimension of Thai Buddhism reveals how ancient religious institutions have evolved into informal social safety nets, catching children who would otherwise slip through society's cracks. Monastic life operates through an intricate framework. 10 core precepts forbid everything from killing insects to eating after noon, while 75 training rules govern precise details, how to wear robes, where to cast your eyes, when to speak. Days unfold rigidly, 4:30 a.m. alms rounds, dawn chanting, afternoon study, dusk chanting, 9:30 p.m. sleep. Yet within these constraints, something unexpected happens. Boys who arrive traumatized, hungry, or addicted discover structure that feels less like imprisonment and more like stability. The rules become handrails guiding them through chaos toward purpose. When 15-year-old Bom broke a precept by eating evening rice and encountered what he believed was a ghost, his terror drove him to a stricter monastery, not away from monastic life entirely. Compassion tempers this strictness. When novices need basic necessities their families cannot provide, teacher monks discreetly arrange support through temple donors. Even serious infractions like drug use result in dignified expulsion. Abbots ensure departing novices have civilian clothes, provisions, and funds to return home safely. This balance between rigor and kindness creates an environment where healing becomes possible. Thai culture deeply embeds short-term ordination into adult male identity. Companies offer ordination leave. Unordained men are sometimes dismissed as unripe. But for boys under 20, ordination stems from family desperation, not religious calling. Novice Naraz exemplifies this reality. His separated parents could barely afford school. After junior high, continuing education seemed impossible until both parents encouraged ordination, their only path to keep him studying. Now he balances religious duties with technical college, sometimes breaking precepts like handling money for bus fare. "I try to make up for it by helping elderly monks," he explains, navigating the gap between monastic ideals and practical demands. Thailand's 4,000 monastic schools vary wildly in quality. For families earning 10,000 baht yearly, even free primary education remains unaffordable once uniforms, books, and supplies are factored in. The monastery becomes the only viable option. Novices often travel far from home, going years without seeing their families, a painful sacrifice for the chance to break generational poverty. Novice Banchar's story reveals the monastery's role as refuge for abused children. After his mother's death from addiction, an uncle regularly beat him and forced him into drug deliveries. When threatened with being sold to traffickers, Banchar fled, walking 10 kilometers to a monastery where he'd briefly stayed. The abbot sent him to another monastery in Nakhon Sawan for protection, where he ordained as a novice and found sanctuary in Buddhist teachings. A year later, his uncle died in a fight. 8 months after, his sister, now engaged to a German man, invited him to live with them in Germany. His decisions surprised everyone. He chose to remain in the monkhood. "I plan to ordain as a full monk at 20 and work at a monastery that helps abused and neglected children," he explains. "I want to use the Buddhist teachings about love and compassion to help others overcome suffering as I have." His transformation illustrates how monasteries serve as informal social safety nets, providing refuge and structure for children who might otherwise disappear into Thailand's darkest corners. By 13, Noom was working 16-hour days on a Bangkok building site, smoking, drinking whiskey, taking drugs, and stealing from friends. Within 1 year, he transformed from a happy village boy into an unpredictably aggressive addict. His brother, already 4 years into construction work, suggested amphetamines for overtime energy. Within months, Noom depended on drugs, alcohol, and cigarettes. On the night before his 14th birthday, after drinking heavily and taking an unknown pill, he woke in a garbage-filled ditch. As he lay trembling, certain he was dying, he saw what he believed was the ghost of a novice monk, a thin boy his age in tattered robes with a sad expression. This vision became his turning point. After recovering under his mother's care, Noom ordained as a novice monk at 15. "I feel compelled to be the best novice I can be," he explains, "both to repay my debt to the ghost novice and to not disappoint my parents or myself." Now he plans to become a monk at 20 and work at a monastery helping young drug addicts. "Whether the ghost novice was real or just a fever-induced vision," Noom reflects, "I believe he pointed me in the right direction at the right time."
Novice Panya learned Buddhism's core teaching, that nothing remains the same, through devastating personal loss. After his mother's death, his grandmothers worked the fields while he became a temple boy. When Panya was 11, his paternal grandmother died peacefully. Her death profoundly affected his other grandmother, who died months later. Falling rice prices forced his father to borrow money and eventually arrange for Panya to become a novice at a large monastery. 3 months later, his father had deteriorated dramatically. He sold everything, cleared his debts, and ordained as a monk at Panya's monastery. They enjoyed monastery life together until a chest infection took his father's life. At 15, Panya had lost nearly everyone except his sister. Rather than wallow in grief, he dedicated himself to novice life, realizing he could honor his departed family by being both a good student and proper novice. Understanding impermanence allows us to accept situations as they are, cope with problems more easily, and live with greater contentment, Panya reflects. After high school, he disrobed, secured admission to agricultural college, and pursued a university degree, turning Buddhist impermanence into motivation for a meaningful future.
These saffron-robed novices embody transformation through education, structure, and compassion, reflecting the reality of thousands across Southeast Asia facing similar circumstances. Despite its imperfections, the monastery system bridges opportunity. Former novices return home with education and skills, breaking generational poverty cycles. Some, like Noom, dedicate themselves to addressing the very problems they once experienced. What can we learn from these little angels? Institutions of refuge matter profoundly. Structure and discipline, paired with genuine compassion, can heal deep trauma. Education remains the most powerful tool for breaking poverty cycles. The most profound spiritual journeys often begin not with devotion, but with desperation, and that's perfectly acceptable. These boys remind us that survival and enlightenment aren't opposing paths, but intertwined ones, each supporting the other in ways both practical and profound.